Hi.
Hi.
Where's Stevie?
I don't know, but she will be back in 15 minutes.
What are you doing?
I'm checking the mail. Did you know that you can still get mail?
Yes, I know about mail.
No, but I'm talking about, like, mail. Like a little man in a uniform with his satchel full of letters traveling door to door.
That's a mailman. And he comes to your house, you pay him, and he gives you your stuff.
I think it's free delivery.
I don't think so. How far into the 15 minutes do you think we are?
TBTL!
The faces may not look familiar, but the voices? This zany radio team have developed a unique style of frolicking on the airwaves.
Basically, I just like coming in and having fun. Yeah, it's a great way to make a living.
Do you have any music, Carl?
I have the internet radio.
I love internet radio.
You've come to the right place, because I have that.
Where am I right now? I don't even remember. Who are you? Who's that handsome hunk of a clam holding those flowers? Are those for me?
Aw, I can't stay mad at you, Goldie.
Oh my God, man, we are seeing some shit we ain't never seen before.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome everybody to a Monday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live and also just might have forgotten that it's Labor Day.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, my name's Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. It's episode 2979 in a collector's series.
And, let the fun begin.
Since we're here, since we have the microphones on, since we're recording, since we burned the candle at both ends for you, the tens of listeners, we might as well do a show. A shortened show, for the record, but a show nonetheless. And it's going to be one that involves TBTL Skyjinx.
Skyjinx!
We had a lot of, both Andrew and I, upon our return, or during our return from Minneapolis to Seattle, we were on separate flights, but they were both dramatic for different reasons. Andrew, who tries to cut a low profile on the airplane, was paged over the intercom of his flight.
And what happened next can only be described as insane.
Meanwhile, I wandered, apparently, onto the flight from the TV show Lost. I was the only person on my flight who had not been through a wildly dramatic and traumatic experience that I will try to relay the details of which to the tens of listeners during this Skyjinx segment. First, though, we have to welcome the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their splendor. He's baby-stepping. He's back at it again with the white vans, even though, again, I can't stress this enough, it's friggin' Labor Day. He is Andrew...
What are you doing here?
Walsh. And he's joining me right now from across the table. How are you, friend?
I'm good. I'm wearing, like, salmon-colored pants right now. Can you wear that on, or... Ooh. Can you only wear them on Labor Day? Is that the rule for salmon-colored pants?
Yes. You know what? I love it. You look very...
explicit.
You look very summery, very casual. We don't usually do the show in shorts.
Well, you don't know what I usually do the show in.
Fair
you're
point.
Not here.
And I'd like to keep it that way.
Yes.
But, no, you're looking...
I got shorts and some slip-on boat shoes. They're really my tonight shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm keeping it cool over here. It's
like
probably going to be a warm day. I want to talk
about
something.
It's a good look for you, by the way.
Thank
you. You're calling them boat shoes. I guess I would describe them as being sort of like van slip-ons.
They're docksiders, technically.
Okay.
Yeah.
But don't they kind of look like those...
They're not boat shoes. I miss...
No. But only because I think they're very... I think they're cool. I think they look good on you.
Thank you.
And yeah, I like the whole look. They should be your default setting in the summer.
They're just like boat shoes,
yes.
Docksiders. It's all nautical.
Yes.
I just got it confused. Either way, point is, I should be on a boat or a dock.
Yes.
But instead, I'm in here with you.
I know, and I'm sorry about that.
No, I actually want to talk about this without putting you on the spot too much. I realized, I don't know, let's say Wednesday or Thursday of last week, which was a really busy week for us in Minnesota. I realized, oh, crap, yeah, Monday is technically a holiday, but I mean, what can you do? I had no time to pre-record anything last week, and, you know, it's like, well, we do a show, you know, if maybe we can shirk on any other responsibilities we have for the day, but it didn't, It wasn't like I had Labor Day plans that now doing a show would push out of the way. If I had plans, I would have known about it. So I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess we're just going to do a show on Labor Day. It seems to me, and I'm not putting you on a hot street here, you are literally for the first time, I think, ever that I've worked with you, you are emanating, I don't want to fucking be here today. And it's funny, like, did you have plans that this is getting the way of, or is it just kind of a mentality realize that the rest of the world is taking a holiday, you don't want to be working?
And this is not that hard, as jobs go. And once I leave, you will then spend longer than the amount of time we're recording putting the recording on the internet. So I have no room to complain. It's totally a mental thing. It's just we did really work very hard last week and do a lot of things, as it were. I mean, really starting with the Thing Festival, then the Live State Fair show, and then all the hotel room shows, and then the travel. And at no time did I realize that this was an actual holiday coming up. And we have a complicated relationship with that stuff because we decided at some point a while ago, and I think it was the right decision, we don't ever put up reruns anymore, which is good, because if people want to hear old shows, they can go back and listen to the old catalog. I worship the old and new catalogs, because what we used
you
to
you don't
do,
listen to the Gen shows, do you? You traitor.
What we do, you know, what we were doing was we would record, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes at the top of the show, setting up the rerun. And then sometimes 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the rerun. And we were like, well, that's almost a show. At least it's a half hour, which, you know.
We were churning out like these 2 hour and 15 minute shows that were just like a big sandwich of old stuff.
And we were like, well, let's just do original new material. It will be shorter than normal because it is a holiday. But that's what we started doing. And I think that's actually a good approach. I think the listeners like that. But because of the weirdness of last week, we just did not have the time to record something to air today. And there was just, for whatever reason, I think, you know what else it is, honestly? This Friday night, I'm doing Livewire, actually right here in Seattle, mere blocks from here, Andrew, at the Neptune Theater. I'll mention to the tens, if you want to come on out, Josh Gondelman will be there. Hilarious comedian Josh Gondelman. There's a new book out. We have these two women who did something called the Infinity Loop, which is where you climb Mount Rainier and then you run like 100 miles around the base of Mount Rainier on a different mountain, and then you climb Mount Rainier again and then you go down.
I've done that before. I didn't know there was a name for it.
Yeah. I know, you get those Bose headphones on and you start walking.
Just, you know, Saturday afternoon for me.
The weirdest thing is this Infinity Loop was invented by a guy that I went to high school with.
Really?
I mean, he was older than me, but his name was Chad Kellogg, and he passed away in a climbing accident. He was one of the fastest climbers in the world. He was a speed climber, and he went to Jesus Creek with me. He and I are the only moderately successful graduates of Jesus Creek that I can think of. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, we're doing the show on Friday night. I would love to see people come on out. We are going opposite Al Franken, and I also believe maybe Pod Save America is in town. So let's just say there are a lot of distractions going on next weekend, and I would love it if some of the tens would want to come out and help us fill up the Neptune Theater.
Neptune Theater. So is this
Friday night?
This is the beginning of your season?
Yes.
You're kicking off your season here in Seattle.
Yeah.
The Emerald City.
Indeed. And so the Big Emerald, I believe it's called.
The Emerald that never sleeps.
Yep. That's it. Oh, hey. Show title. We got there. All right. Take the rest of the day off. Anyway, I think this weekend, Andrew, has taken on outsized, like, there's a lot of pressure in my mind to really relax hard this weekend, because I know that by the end of this week, it's just going to be, back into the grind for me of doing Livewire every week for like 13 or 16 weeks in a row. It'll just be a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this being Labor Day, and by the way, I'll finish this, and then Carrie and I are going to get in the car, and then we're going to drive back home, and then I can be in relax mode. Mm-hmm. It's not even like this is a big thing. It's just in my head that we're working on Labor Day.
Well, I know you haven't forgotten about another fun thing that we're doing this coming weekend that I want to remind people of, if that's okay. This Saturday, TBTL Summer Picnic, 3 p.m. here at Woodland Park in Seattle. Look for shelter number 5. We rent a little shelter. I'll be grilling up some meats. I'll take care of all this stuff this week. I'm going to buy some, a whole bunch of like hamburgers and hot dogs, and then like, a plant-based equivalents of those. But we haven't really drummed up too much of the talk of the fact that this is a potluck, so if everybody could bring something. Now, we're not bringing, unless you have a plan that I don't know about, we're not bringing our own tables, so we're just going to deal with whatever tables are there. So space may be slightly an issue, so I wouldn't like bring enough to feed an army, but bring a food, a side dish that maybe you would like to eat, and then maybe enough for to share with a few people.
Like
and
a small army, like if you're from House Mormont, and you have the army of like eight people.
Yes, and they're all children.
Yes.
And they're all little kids.
Yes, that is going to be on Saturday the 7th. So what I'm going to do, Andrew, is I'm going to stay in town Friday night after doing Livewire and then get up bright and early. And you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to figure out a situation how I can have Rudy with me the whole weekend.
Oh, that would be great.
Because Carrie is working the whole weekend on an event. And so I was thinking...
What did arbitration say about who Rudy spends the weekends with?
Well, this is actually technically Carrie's weekend, but I was able to – we negotiated it out through
various – It's nice that it's friendly.
Well, it's not, but it's basically – we have some – we work through some intermediaries, and we were able to get it done. The important thing is both people – we're both angry about the situation, which means it was a good negotiation. No, so
just stay together for the dog.
No, but I got to find a dog-friendly hotel in Seattle because of my plan is I'm going to come down on Friday with the pod dog. I might even – I don't know if I'm going to bring her to the Neptune. I don't know what the rules are on that, or maybe I'll take her to dog
daycare. I wish
we
could take her, but with our cats, we just can't. No, dude, if we did not have
this
those
place
cats,
would never, this would never recover from her fur, bro.
But, well, it would. I would just clean it up. You know that I would – oh, damn. You know that I would do that. I love that dog. But, yeah, the cats, I think Theo wouldn't survive it. He'd have a heart attack.
I appreciate that.
Oh, that could have been great.
But so, yeah, because really I want to have Rudy at the picnic because I think that she'd have a great time and she'd like to meet some of the other dogs. Although this could be famous last words because she has gotten into this mode where sometimes when she gets very excited and she's on the leash, she gets, I wouldn't say aggressive, but she just gets really wound up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she doesn't do it at all. Sometimes she's so chill. It's very, there's no predicting it. But anyway, so I'm going to have the dog there hopefully on Saturday, which I'm excited about. So that's the plan for this weekend. You know what though, Andrew, now that we're 11 or so minutes into the show, this feels good.
I have some grapes in the other room I was going to offer you, but you don't eat sugar. That's probably too
sugary
for you.
That's not true. I eat nothing but sugar.
Do you want some grapes?
No, I'm fine. I'm working on my Starbucks branded coffee products and I'm good to go. Here's what I think we should do. Let's take a break and then we come back. Let's talk about – we both had really weird trips home.
I'm dying to tell you my story. I'm dying
to hear your story, and then I'll try to in the briefest way possible because my wife is circling the block in the Tiguan. She's like, we got to beat the Labor Day traffic.
Oh, that's not helping. Okay. I'll
tell you what the conversation was. I said, we're going to do the show. It's 10 a.m.-ish as we're recording this. I said, we're going to start at 10 a.m. We'll be done at 10:30. I said, we'll be back home by 1 o'clock. She goes, there is no way that is happening. And I was like, it will happen.
Okay. So there's a lot on the line here. We're going to make this happen.
Only my
is
the future
money?
Of my marriage.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, because believe me, it's going to be expensive for her if we get divorced.
Right. Okay, sounds good. Well, let's do that then.
Okay, quick break and then back with more TBTL.
It's gonna take an airplane to get me off the ground. I don't blame anyone
Scatman's
who isn't sticking around.
DJ Scatman's World. We need Hannah Brooks Olsen to do her pew-pews. Hey, Destroyer, go Dan Behar. I feel like he has no... There's no middle gear with Destroyer in my experience. It's either this, it's either just like very kind of cool... relaxing mellow music where it's like a little bit too hard rocking for me.
Does it get hard rocking? I also know that he gets real ambient though on the new stuff, right?
Well, so yeah, I'm real into Kaput. That's it's not even his newest album. It's just the one I read was most accessible, so that's where I started. Like it was mentioned in passing. They were like, his oddly accessible album, Kaput, and I was like, that sounds like the one for me. That's my speed.
Well, this one sounds, I hit
What's
play
this
on
off
it.
Of?
This is off of, give me a minute here, because I just went by name. I'd never heard this before. An album called Your Blues.
Okay.
Not Your Blues, like the Led Zeppelin song.
Mm.
Is it Led Zeppelin who did that?
Forever in Your Blues Jeans.
Babe. They're coming to blues jeans.
Scatman's
World. Anyway, it's called Your Blues. 2004 is when this album came out.
I would say that Dan Behar has now replaced Andrew Bird as the musician who I think would most not like me.
Well, you've already got Andrew Bird not to like
me. And I also have seen Dan Behar walking down the street in Bellingham, and I don't think he liked me.
He didn't give you good vibes.
He gave me confused vibes. Although I actually didn't say anything to him. I just stared at him through the window of my car.
You didn't yell, "What does your house look like?
Yeah.
What's the interior like?"
Love what you've done with the kitchen. I think you've really opened it up.
You got to knock down some walls.
Hey, let's can we thank some Dan Behar?
Mm-hmm.
Can we thank some surprisingly and appreciatively mellow donors of the day? In that we appreciate how mellow and comforting these donors are, and mm-hmm. really how comforting the money they're donating
That's
is.
That's right.
Amaya Michalina, or Michalina, of Nashville, Tennessee. Laura and Charlie Peterson of Seattle, Washington. Melissa Zochik of Seattle, Washington. How'd I do on that?
I love what you did with that.
It's Is it right? We don't know, but it sounded good.
It's S-Z-O-C-I-K. Yeah. If I was cold reading that, I don't know. And you said Zochik, right? I like that.
I think you maybe dropped the S on that. Mm-hmm. You dropped the S, put mm-hmm. a chick at the end. You got Melissa Zochik.
Well, and then, I think she's been super surfed.
And then Melissa Zochik, they say, thanks, Melissa Zochik. And then she flies away. Lee Lambert of Shoreline, Washington. Hey. Our friend Lee Lambert. Thanks, Lee. I really appreciate it. Lee, I don't want to put Lee's business out on in the streets.
Do
but
it.
We ran into Lee. Well, I ran into Lee when I was doing that Civic Cocktail, that TV thing had me so kind of worked up because the week leading up to it, there was some Twitter shenanigans where people thought I was there to talk about homelessness, which I wasn't. And then I ran into Lee there, and Lee has worked for a long time in STEM education, and now he's actually running a different organization. Like, Lee's big timing. And what was funny was he didn't want to brag on himself or let me know that he is now actually a very important person in the Seattle, you know, sort of nonprofit community. And so it was nice seeing him, but I immediately felt a little bit nervous talking to Lee.
He's a big wheel down at the Science Factory.
He really is. And it was like, oh, I've been knowing Lee for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And now he is like a very powerful person. And I just hope that I hope he still returns my calls.
Yeah, I hope he
keeps donating to the show, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So Lee, congratulations. And if you stop donating, we know that you got bougie.
Don't forget your roots, Lee.
Yes. Remember, dance with who brung you. Also, Steve. Oh, remember Lee's daughter was the one that was very suspicious of us at like two picnics ago. I wonder if she'll be at this picnic judging us on Saturday.
Oh, yes. I hope so. Two pieces of advice from her, I believe. Less poop talk, less Game of Thrones talk. Was that correct?
That was the one. So I've already talked about Game of Thrones today.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, poop is not far behind. Steve and Elizabeth Maxwell of Houston, Texas. Thank you for Jadeveon Clowney. These are our Jadeveon Clowney level donors of the day. And then Christine Zozula of North Providence, Rhode Island. The signal hits North Providence, Rhode Island, all the way to Rhode Island.
Well, our AM signal does, I think, on a rainy
night,
right? Yeah.
Depending on, as I said last week, the ionosphere.
That's right.
Christine, Steve, Elizabeth, Lee, Melissa, Charlie, and Laura, and Amaya, thank you so much for supporting TBTL. We would not be here on Labor Day doing the show without you. I'm not bitter. I'm just saying.
This is your fault.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right. Let's start, Andrew, with your story of getting home from Minnesota, because I have a couple little details you texted me, but there's a bunch I don't know, and it sounds like it was – let me put it this way. When you texted me about it, I immediately told Carrie.
Okay,
and she laughed her ass off. No offense.
I told somebody this an abbreviated version of this story on Friday. I told our friend Katie, and she was interested, and then at the end she said, oh, I'm going to hear this story again, aren't I? She listens to the show. And yes, Katie, you are. If something is happening when I book my plane tickets through work. As you know, I am a dedicated aisle sitter.
Yes.
Right? I don't like to sit in
like
the window.
Like your father and his
That's
father.
That's right.
Your great-grandfather used to sit in the aisle of the covered wagon as it was moving
he
west.
He insisted on it, yeah, because it's easier to get to the bathrooms in the back of the wagon, which is just peeing off the back of the wagon. It's something is like there's no world in which I would accidentally choose a window seat for myself any more than anybody would accidentally choose a middle seat, right? Like I know that this is very important to me. And I think it's getting a little bit more. Part of it is leg room. I can stretch my legs a little bit in the aisle carefully, looking both ways to make sure you're not tripping anybody. If I need to, you know, crack my knee or something. But also I think it's a claustrophobia thing. Mm-hmm. Just a touch of it. I'm not trying to claim ADA privileges here, but definitely I feel very trapped in that middle.
So that therapy ferret is not you just bought that vest on the internet, you son of a gun.
I'm just happy to see you. So I noticed on my flight out to Minnesota last weekend, I open up the app, I check in, and then I realize, oh hell, they've moved me to a window seat, son of a gun. Luckily there are still some aisle seats left, so I changed my seat again. And then on the way, it's Friday. I'm flying out on Thursday, and I'm flying out on Friday.
We had just wrapped up recording the show on Thursday, and you were looking at that at the app on your phone, and you were quite frustrated.
Yeah, we just wrapped up doing Hay Dummies. Remember outside of this little vegan butcher
shop?
I
forced
place.
You to eat a fake rib.
I threw the rest of those away. they weren't bad, but whatever. Right. Watch Hay Dummies anyway. I had about a half hour walk back to the hotel. It was a nice little walk, a little less than a mile, I think. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call. I don't usually do this, but I go to check in. I realize that, again, I've been moved to a window seat, and there are no aisle seats left. And I'm really bummed about this. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to call Alaska, because this has happened twice now.
I'm
Somebody's
glad
moving
you did,
my damn seat.
Because who moved my seat? Jeez.
Exactly.
ooh, gross. Whoa. But no, I'm glad you called, because where we left things, if I remember right, on Thursday was you were a little miffed. And I think I said, well, you might give him a call. And I think you said, I'm just going to deal with it at the airport because I get there early anyway. Mm-hmm. So when we parted company, your plan, as I understood it, was you were just going to like go deal with it at the airport. You weren't saying you were going to call them. So I'm glad to hear you called them, because they can be quite helpful.
Yeah. And I find that gate agents can be helpful, too. But I was like, hey, why not see if I can get a head on this, especially I have this walk with nothing else going on anyway. So, and actually, though, that is one thing with me. If I'm going to be calling customer service or anything that is even close to being a business type of call, I don't like to be outside in the wind. It was a very windy day.
Yeah.
But I was like, let me just try to get this done. Let me try to multitask for once in my goddamn life. So,
sorry, Kim in Boise.
Yeah. So I'm walking back, and I call Alaska, and the woman on the phone, you know, we say a lot of good things about Alaska, as well we should. I really love them as a company. But the woman is being very polite but non-budging. She is saying, nope, this came into us as a window seat. We don't show any records of us being moved. So if you booked it through work, it must have been the people on there. And, you know, our work uses a travel agency. And she says, you know, there's nothing on the aisle. There's literally nothing on the aisle. There's only one, but it's an upgrade seat for $50. And I'm trying to just sit with those awkward silences and make her budge, like we talked about. I'm not great at it, but I'm trying my best here. And I'm just kind of like, well, I didn't move it. All I know is like, I need an aisle seat. Like I need one. And I'm just letting her kind of like, she'll put me on hold
twist
for a long
in
time
the wind a little
back.
Bit.
Yeah. And then it gets to this point where I, first of all, when I'm on the phone with somebody, this ended up being about a half hour call, if not more, and I'm not getting my way at the end of it. I'm not going to say thank you. Almost, I realize a million times a day when I get off the phone, I say, okay, thank you, bye. And I'm like, I'm not going to say that.
It's like thanking the police officer when they hand you the ticket.
Right, yeah.
Like, no, I do not thank you for this, sir.
Only worse, in this case, you know, we paid a couple $100 for a plane ticket, and I'm not getting what I bought. Like, and again, that seems like the only industry that does that are airlines, and it really ticks me off. So I was never, like, rude to her or mean, but, like, she was... It was very clear that I was very disappointed, but she's not budging, and I'm kind of like, well, can't you just give me that seat? Like, clearly somebody screwed up here, and she's like, no, I can't do that. And so I'm pretty upset about that. We hang up the phone at some point, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call the travel agency. So I call the travel agency, and it's the same thing. Very, very nice woman, and she's like, yes, no, it doesn't look like your seat was moved. She puts me on hold for a long time, and then eventually she comes back and she says, yeah, it does seem like it was originally a different seat, and then it got moved, but we didn't move it. It was Alaska. It looks like it's got Alaska's fingerprints on it. I'm like, ugh. Tell me what those fingerprints are. Like, tell me, you know, is there a number? Is there something? Because I was just on the phone with them for a half hour, and they insist
now,
it wasn't
now,
them.
Now, it's,
now you're insisting it's not
and now
you
it's
guys.
Getting serious in your mind because you're like, you've now invested a fair amount of time in trying to solve this mystery.
And like, bottom line, she's no help either. She's very nice. She keeps on offering to put me on the phone with IT to see if there's some setting in my
profile.
Concur profile, which I looked at the Concur profile. Like, no, it doesn't say if I choose a seat, move it to a window. It says my preference is aisle. And every time you book a flight through our system,
your wife's new name is Isle. Isle.
And you know this, when you book a plane ticket through our system, there's a checkbox like do not move my seat, or if there's a better seat, move it up according to my preferences. I always check don't move my seat cheese.
Yeah.
So I don't like anyway, so I'm just on the phone with two companies. It's about an hour of my time. Ugh. It ruins my walk, and everybody's like, there's nothing we can do.
And everyone
it's not
thinks
our
it's
fault.
Somebody, it's, yeah, I've been in that before.
It was very, very frustrating. So I'm pretty bummed about that. I go to the airport the next day. I get there very early, which thank God I did, man. There is something going on. Did you know this is a national news story about even the like Minnesota senators have spoken out about the TSA situation in the Minneapolis airport.
I waited for about 45 minutes or an hour in the pre-check line.
Wow.
The pre-check line was 45 minutes, which I have not seen ever in my life.
It was one of those things where you walked into the airport and the line for security was like so far outside of security that they were setting up special stanchions, and you did that walk where you kept on thinking, well, surely I can jump in line here, but people would stare you daggers if you jumped in the line. You just had to walk to the other end of the airport to even get into the line. It was long situation. But anyway, I get to the airport. I get through security. They don't toss my bag, even though it's got a microphone and cables in there for a change.
Oh, by the way, that was sweet. When I was going through, I think it must have been SeaTac, because I have, when I was going to Minnesota, I have a microphone that I brought, and it's not even the microphone, it's the stand that it goes with that usually gets flagged. So I've kind of gotten in the habit to try to save myself a little time. If I'm standing there and if the guy or person who does the, you know, looks at the bags for the x-ray, if it seems convenient, I mention to them, oh, I have a microphone in there, and it kind of sometimes looks suspicious. So I said that to the guy, and he goes, well, thank God for you, I know what a microphone looks like. I was like,
what the
Wow. Okay. Wow. Harsh. SeaTac TSA. I was like, I was just trying to be helpful. Now, I don't know if he was trying to be funny and it just didn't work.
Yeah, right.
But it kind of felt to me like he was saying, like, don't tell me what's in here or how to do my job. And I was like, do you really know what a microphone looks like, bruh? Did you, like, are you, did you work at WKRP before you worked at the TSA? Or is it possible that was useful information I was giving you?
Well, I'm sure he was trying to be friendly and it came off, because I agree with you, that comes off wrong, but chances are he was trying to be funny. Yeah. But ironically, they did toss my bag in SeaTac Airport when on my way out to Minnesota. And the woman was looking at, because I have what they call a shotgun microphone. Now, it doesn't look like a shotgun, but it also doesn't look like a traditional microphone. It's a long, skinny tube with a piece of foam over it. And so this woman was like turning it over and over and over and looking at it confusedly until her colleague came up and said, it's a microphone.
Maybe
and
that was the guy.
Yeah. It was
Oh, was it Venus Flytrap from WKRP? It says, I'm sorry, I left out some important details of this story.
Right, he had a big, bushy mustache and sideburns. I realize I'm going too long with the story, although I do think it has a pretty good power out. So I get to the gate, and I explain it again. I'm like, they moved my seat. I should be on an aisle. Somebody took my stapler. And the woman at the gate says, oh, I'm sorry. The only aisle seat I have is 32C. It's literally the last seat in the plane. I'm like, sure, I'll take it. You know, and sometimes back there, it smells a little bit like the bathroom or even like the bathroom disinfectant. Yeah. But that's not always a given either.
Right.
And so near the end of the plane, people will start lining up for the bathroom. That's not ideal. But again, I'll take that for an aisle seat.
I consider that part of the plane Walshman's world.
That's right. Walshman's world. In the clear. Anyway, and then I get on the plane, and I'm actually happy to see it's a pretty modern layout plane. So it seems like there's a good amount of room for some reason. reason, the very last row, somehow it just seems pretty comfortable. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get on a plane and it just seems like you're going to be jam packed in there and it's going to be hell. This one was just giving me a lot of good vibes. I sit down. There's nobody sitting next to me. Then a couple comes on the plane near the end, and they do sit next to me. But the woman who takes the middle seat was very nice. I said to her, "Hey, listen, if I get in your way at all, you got to let me know. I'm trying not to do that. You're the middle seat person." She's like, "I literally always take the middle seat because I don't care. I'm fine. I'm a small
She's
person.
Like, I'm
whatever.
Actually looking to meet somebody. Right. We're trying to open up this relationship. Right. So just let me hit me up."
Dude, don't spoil the story. We're just getting there. I'm giving the slow burn up
Sky
to the
Sky creep. Woo.
Anyway, so I'm actually sitting back there and I'm feeling good. I'm like, you know what? I got my aisle seat. I'm next to a very nice couple that are doing the crossword puzzle together, which is very sweet. And I kind of like this situation. Yeah. And after flying to Australia, like, honestly, a 3.5 hour flight seems like nothing. Like
right. And after all the stuff you dealt with trying to just get to an aisle seat, the fact that you're now in an aisle seat is just like, whew.
So I'm settled in. Plane's about to take off. Almost everybody's in their seat, except for a few people in the aisle. Suddenly, over the loudspeaker, "Could passenger Andrew Walsh come to the front of the plane? We have a seat change situation. Andrew Walsh, come to the front of the plane." I'm just like, are they going to put me back by a goddamn window? Like, is this happening?
That because now, listen, if you're me, because of how much I fly and all my lower status, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to first class. But if you're you and you've been through what you've been through, did you literally think they were going to make you go sit in a window seat?
Yes, I did. Or I
or
wasn't
a middle
sure.
seat.
Or if at anything, I was going to have to argue and say, listen, you know, I did this because they, you know, when I switched my seat at the gate, they gave me a new boarding pass and everything.
Oh, my God.
So I can't get to the front of the plane because I'm all literally in the very, very last seat of the plane. So and there's some people milling about in the aisle. So I just turned to the flight attendant who's all the way in the back. And I said, would you mind radioing up to the front and figuring out what's going on before I head up there? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, sure. She couldn't have been nicer. She radios the front. She's like, oh, yeah. Oh, good news for you. You're moving up to row 2. You are bumped up to first class, my friend. I am like, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, for real.
Everything is turning up Walsh. Now, part of me is thinking, I'm not like I've started collecting miles a little bit now, which is, it's ridiculous that I wasn't doing it sooner. But I'm certainly not somebody who flies a lot. I'm not gaming the system the way you or Genevieve or other people I know who fly a lot do and keeping track of it. I am not usually somebody who is in line to get upgraded to first class, except on the occasions that I've been with you and our tickets are kind of together, and then your status will sometimes get us a break, which is really sweet. And I'm like, Luke's not here. Maybe I'm coming up in the world now.
Yeah.
I have no idea. The only thing I'm thinking in the back of my head is, I wonder if it's because because they know that I did get screwed. They somehow kept, you know, earmarked my ticket as saying this guy had some problems and we want to make it up to him by giving him a first class ticket if one becomes available.
It's really funny how like your brain immediately starts to try to write a story of like, well, how did this, like, oh, listener Will is a pilot for Alaska or we're friends, you know, we know people that work there.
Oh, I didn't even think,
or like they sponsor LiveWire they flagged my ticket because they know I had a frustrating call yesterday. Like all of these things to be like, well, this is why this is happening.
And it's all happening in like 15 seconds, right? I'm like, oh, and the people who are sitting next to me, they're excited for me now.
Right.
They're like, oh yeah. They're like, and the woman even said, see, this is good karma because you were so nice to me when I sat down. I was like, pshaw. So I take, my bags are really heavy, by the way, because they're filled with radio equipment. So I take my bags. I head to the front of the plane, go all the way to the front of the plane, and there are no open seats in first class. And so I say to the flight attendant, probably the person who had paged me in the first place, I said, hey, I'm Andrew Walsh. He said, oh, good, here. And he hands me a new boarding pass and says 2F. I'm like, all right, good. But I look around and
I will mention 2F is the window.
Yeah, it is.
I'll take
a first class window.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I want to know what your policy is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's somebody sitting in my seat, and I'm kind of like, I hold up the thing. I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to be up here. He's like, I just got paged. I'm up here. I'm like, what's your name? We both say it at the same time, Andrew Walsh.
No!
There are two Andrew Walshes on this plane, and he is clearly a guy who would get bumped up to first class. You know, he's
like a businessy
dude. He just looks
like
a businessman, you know? Like, maybe he's... maybe 10 years older than me.
Did you guys do like a mirror exercise where you like held up your hand and he held it up and you guys just were like, sometimes when we touch, the honesty's too much.
I did at one point say to him, and I would, at this point, in my head, I was like, oh, this all makes sense. I know. I mean, to a degree, I'm shocked. But I did say, what's your middle name? And I just asked him that. I just asked him that as like, how often do you meet in the wild a person with your same name? And he seemed to like hesitate for a second. And Nick, I think maybe he thought I was going to be fighting with him about the seed. He just hesitated for a second. Yeah. And then he told me. I'm not going to say it here because, again, he seemed to hesitate to tell me. So
it was Targus.
Maybe don't. It was Targus. Targus, actually.
Right.
His confirmation name was Targus and his middle name was Targus.
His middle name was C-Class.
Anyway, he told me his middle name. I said, my middle name's Lewis. I just shook his hand and I went back and I went back. And I was like, what are the chances that there are two people with the same first and last name on a plane and that this person will get announced on the loudspeaker?
Right.
It's not like the name.
No, I see this happen all the time because of just being on planes. Usually what they do, I've actually never heard them page
by name, right?
No.
They'll kind of like do a whisper thing.
No,
up
what
and down
they
the
do
aisle.
Is they just they get the new boarding pass and they figure out where the person is sitting, and then they walk to where the person is, and they go like, hey, we're moving you. And they don't even say where because I think they don't want to they don't want the other crabs in the bucket to grab you. So they're like, they're very discreet about it. They never page people over the intercom to move to first class. Because the other thing is now you had no reason. You did absolutely nothing wrong in this situation, but did you feel kind of sheepish walking back to the back of the plane?
I did a little bit only because I sort of, I mean, the vibe was kind of real high-fivey when I left the back. The flight attendant who, and again, and there were actually two flight attendants who were working, who were taking care of the back of the plane, and they were both so nice. And the woman who called up to the front of the plane for me when I got back there, she's like, oh my God. I said, there's two Andrew Walshes. It was the other one. And she was like, oh. And she starts apologizing. I'm like, you did nothing wrong.
Right.
You know. And I'm still thinking it's pretty funny. If I were in a middle seat in a really tight airplane and going back to that, I would maybe be on the verge of tears. But I was like, this is not going to be a bad flight. I just had a vibe.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to get you some free drinks. We're going to treat you like you're in first class, which is super, super
nice.
And I did have a couple of drinks, but then later on they asked me if I wanted some more. And I was like, it's only like a 3-hour flight. And I was like, no, I'm good. And they seemed kind of surprised, so they gave me like a nice little chocolate bar or whatever. Like they really wanted to take care of me, which
really
is really sweet.
And
again, it goes back to that. I think Alaska is really classy like that. And I wasn't, again, the circumstances were generally in my favor, so I wasn't mad about it. But I was just astounded by the coincidence of that.
That is so weird and coincidental. I remember when we were doing the show on Thursday, and I was changing my flight, I believe, on the air, because I'm a professional.
You were moving around all over the place.
Yeah, because what happened was I was supposed to leave at 3:30, but I was worried that it was going to be a little tough to fit in the recording of the show and go do the Hey Dummies and watch you eat the best vegetarian ribs you've ever eaten.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably true.
Yeah, because they're the only ones. Yeah. So I thought, I should try to move my flight back. Now, I had already moved my flight up that morning, because originally my flight was at almost 8 o'clock at night. I was like, let me try to get home a little bit earlier, whatever. So as we're doing the show, I look at the app and it says, oh yeah, there's a 6:30 flight home. And I'm like, that's interesting. There was not a 6:30 flight before. Why is there one now? I've never seen them just add a flight in the middle of the day. And I look and it's empty. The flight is they added a flight at 6:30. It's totally empty. I'm like, okay. So I put myself in I can't add myself to first class, but I add myself to a window exit seat, which I like. And I'm like, cool, okay, that's the deal. I'm leaving at 6:30 on this flight, whatever. And then I immediately get an update. You've been upgraded to first class. I think because there was nobody on the flight. They're like, well, we'll throw this bozo in first class. So, and then I found out it was someone named Andrew Walsh, actually, which was weird. So I get to the airport and I'm hanging out over in the whatever, the airport lounge or something, and then it's time for the flight. And they still haven't given us – the flight is weird, though. There's no gate. The flight is supposed to be boarding, and on the app it won't tell me what gate the flight is boarding at. And
this
I'm like –
this is a ghost ship.
And I had called – I literally – I think in the lift or at some point had called Alaska and I said, is this flight real?
Is this real life?
I really Danieled at the dentist tip because I was like, why do they add – they added a flight and it's empty and there's no boarding gate. And I'm in first class.
And it's flown by somebody named Large Marge.
Exactly. Or is this like, what is going on? It was so bizarre. So I go to the person in the lounge, which is not the Alaska lounge. I don't have one in Minnesota. It was American. But I asked the woman, I said, what do you think of this? And she goes, well, I don't know. She goes, Alaska has one gate here, so just go to that gate. I'm like, okay. So I walk over to it, and literally as I'm walking to it, the person is – the employee is making the announcement, we're moving to a different gate. And everybody who's there, it is like – you have I don't want to make a refugee type reference because that's a real thing in the world and a terrible thing, but these people were beleaguered. This crew of people waiting for the plane, when they heard that we had to move like five gates, they were like, oh, everyone kind of gets up, and I'm like, we're taking this kind of hard, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a 5 minute mm-hmm. walk. Let's just keep our S together. So me and this whole gaggle of people, we get to the new gate. The plane finally, I'm hearing people on cell phones. There's like a teenage kid talking to his parents. He's going, man, it was so sketchy. And then like these other older people are like talking to amongst each other. There's like this weird kind of hubbub going around the group of people I'm with. And when the new plane that we're going to get on finally rolls up, about 20 people go and want to physically look at the airplane. And then they break into applause because the airplane is here. And I'm like, none of this makes any sense. I happened to run into a woman named Janelle Koval, that's her maiden name, who used to produce The Night Show on Cairo. She was on this flight. So we're chit-chatting, and she says, yeah, it was crazy what happened with the plane, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, well, the windshield. And I go, huh? And she goes, were you not on the flight from Newark? And I'm like, no, I was not on the flight from Newark. She goes, yeah, we've been here for like 8 hours. We were flying from Newark to Seattle. The windshield of the airplane, like, cracked, like spiderweb everywhere. Like, I'm not talking about a little crack. I'm talking about the windshield. It was not, I mean, it was intact, but it was totally, like, cracked. She showed me a picture of it.
How did from the outside once it was parked on the tarmac?
So from like the cockpit door was open as they were deplaning and you could take a picture of it. And then I think she also got one from the
wow. Do you think they left that door open on purpose so that
no, I don't think they wanted everyone to know.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
What happened was it was early morning, the shades were down, everyone was kind of sleeping, and then all of a sudden the plane just descended like
many feet
because the and they didn't announce this. I don't think they wanted to freak. They wanted to not freak people out. But the cockpit windshield, whatever, had cracked.
Oh, my God.
And they needed to get low because there was a possible loss of pressure for the pilots. And then they can't fly the plane, which is bad, I hear. So this plane drops like 10,000 feet to get down. And they make an emergency landing in Minneapolis. And the people on the plane figure out the windshield thing just through like looking at it from the, you know, as they're deplaning, yeah. And I think maybe even from once they get out into the airport. So now that happened, Andrew, at 11 in the morning, exactly when you and I were doing the show, yeah. And I was like, hey, why is there a mystery flight? Hey, can I be on that?
It was a ghost ship.
It was a ghost ship that for some bizarre reason let me get onto the new flight. They scrambled a flight from somewhere else to get these poor souls home.
But there weren't enough, because of just the way things work, there weren't enough to just fill up the plane again. I don't understand why there are so many empty seats.
Well, no, I got in before Alaska had moved everyone onto the plane.
Wow, you just happened to be, like, it might have been a 5 minute window or something.
If that. The plane was then overbooked.
Way. Oh, no way.
I didn't realize this going in. I would not have intentionally, like, you know,
sure.
replaced somebody or whatever. But, like, I was somehow able to add myself onto this flight that was about to be filled with the people who had been emergency landed in Minnesota.
So is there a chance that you displaced somebody?
Yes.
Who'd, oh, no.
Well, the lady I was sitting next to in first class said, yeah, yeah. It was a different guy when we got on in Newark. Yeah.
And it was my husband.
Yeah, of course it was. I was like, but let's be honest. He's kind of a jerk. She was like, yeah, you're way cooler.
And now you guys are engaged, so that's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, happy ending. So,
wow, that is astounding. I don't like to think about things going bad in the air, though. That really
well, I mean, the good news is the systems all work.
That's true.
And everything was fine. And in fact, no, they didn't feel anything. It wasn't like the plane, mm-hmm. according to my friend that was on the flight, it wasn't like the plane like rocked or mm-hmm. whatever. It was just.
It didn't lurch down to 10,000.
No. It just was. But it was, you know, wasn't what was supposed to be happening. But it all seemed like it was happening in a very controlled fashion. Well. What was really interesting was now I'm sitting there, I'm in like the front row aisle seat of first class, and what I am observing is each person getting on the plane and dealing with their anger, frustration,
anxiety
sure. to some degree, trauma,
yeah.
like with the flight crew. Now, by the way, not the same flight crew.
Right.
And also, the first flight crew didn't do anything wrong. Nobody right. did anything wrong in the situation.
Maybe a bird did.
I mean, probably. So What was amazing was because this was a different style of plane. I mean, they just got the plane that they could get.
Yeah.
And so it meant that the seats were jumbled up. People who had paid their little extra, you know, premium ticket, some of them were not in their premium seat anymore. And like every, like not every person, but I would say 80% of the people when they came on had some kind of comment for this flight crew, this male and female flight attendant, who, again, had literally flown in on their day off to make this flight happen.
Like, what kind of comments?
So people would be like, try not, you know, like, try to keep us safe. And then they'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or people would be like, it's a disaster out there. Because then there was, because this was not the normal boarding thing, because we weren't even boarding at an Alaska gate. We were boarding at like a, they were like using a, I don't remember the other airline, but they were using someone else's gate. This is how kind of like just improvised this was. And so the person and everyone's tickets were out of whack. You know what I mean? Every person providing their ticket, they had to do something special. So the line to get on the plane was hugely long. So everyone who, when they finally got on, they had emergency landed. They had been in the airport for 7 or 8 hours, and then they had to wait to get back onto this new plane. So they were, everyone was just wound up. So some people were just like, you know, why don't I have the seat I used to have? And we're like, well, we're so sorry. We can get you a refund. Da, da, da. Or it was like, then there's this woman sitting next to me, this older woman, who's like, when is this plane taking off? And they're like, there's like three empty seats still on the plane. And they're like, well, we have to get everybody on board. They had their time. Like, this woman's like getting super upset because the plane's still there. She's like, I've been here all day. I mean, you know, it was like older gal. Yeah. Funnily enough, was going to Bellingham. But it was just, it was a study in.
She had subdued excitement.
I wish she would have subdued it. She turned out to actually be very nice. You know what she was? She was one of those people who just kind of like, you think they're really mad. Mm-hmm. They're kind of not. They just,
that's just how
they just talk they loud
themselves.
And they're older.
Yeah, yeah.
But then she was also very complimentary towards the crew. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, I was like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is going to be a long flight.
Uh-huh.
Because these people flew through a time hole at some point, and now we're just, are we landing in the Bahamas? What's going on with this? Are we going to the Bermuda Triangle together? But it was a real study in human behavior because I had this very odd perspective on it, which is I hadn't been through any of the shit. I just showed up at the airport, ate a couple of cheese sticks in the lounge, and then got on the plane in first class. Mm-hmm. I had the easiest thing in my life, and I'm with a bunch of people who have been through it.
Yeah.
And then to watch each person and how they handle it. Some people were very polite when they got on. They were just like, hey, thank you for coming. You know, thanks for coming here to Minnesota to fly us home. And some people were just pissed. Mm-hmm. And to just, it really made me hope that next time I go through something like that, I'm able to maintain my equanimity, which I don't know if I would or not, but it was a very weird perspective to have. The craziest part was I got this email when I was on my way to the airport. I got this email from the airline going, we are so sorry. This will never happen again. And I was like, what are they apologizing for?
Wow.
They're like, please accept this flight voucher.
Did you get a flight voucher?
Yeah, I'm actually going to send it back.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't deserve it. But it was like they, I hacked into the mainframe and toasted the quarterback.
Wow.
Totally accidental.
While you were recording TBTL.
While I was recording TBTL.
You should buy something right now. Go on Amazon. Buy something.
Do they sell Teslas on Amazon?
Buy a Cessna. Speaking of Cessnas, can I tell you something? This is a little bit off topic, but on the topic of airplanes. Yeah. So if you had anything else, I don't
I did
to
say
cut
Tesla,
you off.
But I would also accept a Cessna.
Oh, I know you said that, but I said Cessna.
I would take a Tesla Cessna.
Look at this thing that I downloaded. You know, I never pay for apps. It's so weird. I'm just used to apps being free, but we've been sitting on the porch a lot here in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington, playing cards. Genevieve and I have been this summer, and we are directly under a flight path. Like, we are directly under the flight path that heads into SeaTac Airport, which is what? How is that, like 15 miles south of us?
Yeah, probably.
So even if the planes are coming up from the south, they often come up and then have to do a big loop-de-loop and then fly. And so it's just kind of fun to stare up and see what's going on. And so I downloaded this app. I'm like, I know my friends have, like, I think Broadcast Barry has a flight tracker on his phone.
Right.
Because he's like you. He flies around a lot. Him and his husband Sam fly around a lot. And they can now, like, look up at the sky and be like, oh, yeah, that's a 737. That's probably the one coming in from San Jose or whatever. And I wanted that. And I offered to eat his brain so that I could have that information. But he said, why don't you just pay $345 and download the app? I love this thing. There is not a lot of action going on right now, but I'm handing you my phone. You zoom out, you can see like every flight in the country, and it just becomes a mass of red planes. Or
I am downloading this.
I highly recommend this version too. I've been obsessed with it. Genevieve thinks I am nuts. We are close to breaking up because all I talk about are the planes.
Worth it.
You can see all of the chartered planes. You can see all of the helicopters, and then
I can see Allegiant is going to Bellingham,
and you can watch some of the planes. Once you click on it, you can see their flight path up until the current moment. So you can see the ones that are just tourist planes. They'll like zoom around Seattle a million times.
Malaysia Air pulling into probably Vancouver, I assume, or it's gonna bang a right over Cedar Willy. I'm trying to start saying that more. My father-in-law says that. He's like an old car guy, and I'll be like, yeah. Then you go up there and you bang a left.
Yeah,
it's like, I like that.
It's good action verb. I'll just say one more thing about this. And now, like, and of course, whenever I click on one of these airplanes and it doesn't tell me where they're going or where they're coming from, I start to develop conspiracy theories.
Well, you should.
And it'll show you who owns it. Like,
for
Alaska
instance, is Jazz Airlines even a thing?
It is. But check this out. There was one that was held by a trust company. I'm like, what is this trust company? I realized I went to their website.
God damn it.
And like, if you're a Canadian, but you want to have an American plane or who knows what else possibly illegal activity could go on, but you can basically just have your plane in a trust here in the United States if you don't have what it takes to actually register your plane here in the States. So now I'm looking at these flights that are like, wait a second, you're owned by a trust. Where have you been? Where are you going? What's your cargo hold? I need to investigate this.
Yes.
Like, I'm like Andrew Walsh, boy airplane detective.
Oh my God, Andrew, I am already obsessed with
this.
Like, can I have
amazing.
Your phone?
Give me it back.
Is that
give
how
me
that
back.
Works?
No, you can play with it anytime you want.
Because this thing, I'll trade you for a G.I. Joe. Turkish Airlines currently flying over the North Pole on its way to San Francisco from Ataturk Airport in Istanbul. This is wild. So we used to, I still have it on my phone, but when Carrie and I lived in Port Townsend, and we looked, our place kind of looked out on the Strait of Juan de Fuca, there's a thing called Ship Finder, which is that of ships. And we
That's
would just
cool.
sit there and obsess over all of these big cargo ships because they all, you know, they have to, they have a lot of registration that they do. And so it's like where they're going. They don't tell you what's on it, but it's like, you know, where they start, where are they going. But that just called Plane Finder?
Here, let me actually give you the actual, because other people might want to download this as well. Yeah, I think it's just called Plane Finder. That's the name of it. And again, it was like $3.99 or something. When I was buying it, I was like, you know, a few gin and tonics in it. I'm like, am I really buying this app? Usually
yes,
the ones I buy, I don't use. But I mean, it is to the point now where if I hear a plane, like we were sitting here talking about airplanes, then I heard one coming, my instinct is to grab my phone now and figure out what's flying above me. Genevieve, I mean, I think that, I don't know, I can't tell to which degree she's sick of me talking about it, but I did say at one point yesterday, we were staring up at the sky and I've got my plane finder, I'm like, I think I finally understand your obsession with birding.
Yes.
It's like, I just like big metal birds.
Are there in-app purchases?
I don't
like, can
remember.
You bring up, can you like, can you like send someone a drink
I don't
in the sky?
Think so. Not okay. that I've noticed.
So it's
I
called Plane Finder?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I know what I'm doing for the rest of the day. Although the thing about Bellingham is, and from where we live, I can see the flights that are going into Bellingham Airport. And this is very sad, but I know which flights they are. And I have had the experience of seeing a flight as it's going to land and go like, that's my plane. And then I get in the car and I go to the airport.
And it is your plane.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
Because there's like four flights a day, so I know what they are.
Now, I do have an Android, so there's a chance that maybe they're different apps.
What's it look
but the
like?
One that I have,
I love this
and
is
I'm going to show you here.
Happy
in a
Labor
second.
Day.
But I'm going to tell everybody, too, because this one is fun. It's called Plane Finder Dash Flight Tracker.
Oh, yeah.
The people who make it are Pink Fruit Limited, FROOT, Pink Fruit Limited Flight Tracker. And that's what the icon looks like, Luke. It's a little blue background with a green corner and an airplane.
I have already...
You find the same one?
I have already purchased it.
Oh, nice.
All right. I think that is probably going to do it. I mean, we basically did our regular show, Andrew. So you're welcome, listeners.
Yeah,
or
well,
we're sorry. I don't know.
I kind of hoped we would because, I mean, again, you know, Friday show is a shorty from the fair.
Shorty.
We will be back tomorrow with a heck of a lot of content, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much.
Too much, yeah.
What do you always say, 10-pound show in a 5-pound bag?
Yeah, that's what we are going for. A quantity over quality. That's the TBTL model.
Quantus over quality.
That's right. Okay.
That's, I don't know, it's like airplane humor?
No, I liked it. I liked it.
Going out with something.
I'm just mad because this Pink Fruit wants a lot of my credit card data to buy this thing, which is fine, but it's like, just believe me, I have a credit card and it works, Pink Fruit.
That's weird.
I don't know. Okay, probably has something to do with my profile. That is not interesting or important to this show. What is interesting and important is for me to say thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you're having a great Labor Day wherever you are. Do remember, on Saturday, we are going to have the TBTL picnic again. I drove by with Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
Mambo number 5.
Oh, good. I need to do that
today.
Still. How are the table situation?
Amazing. actually, I didn't. I gazed into Woodland Park.
Oh, I do want to mention that, and I'll mention this again earlier in the show tomorrow. You know, I keep saying shelter number 5. If you type that into Google Maps, it'll pinpoint exactly the shelter you're looking for.
We're going to gather together. It's going to be what, 3 o'clock on Saturday?
3 o'clock.
We're going to stare into the sky and figure out which airplanes are flying
over.
That's
right. Oh, that's my plan. God. That's
and also, fun. For real, Friday night, the Neptune Theater, please come see me do Livewire. And then we can talk about it at the picnic the next day. We can say, what a time.
What
a wild
we
night.
We just keep making memories.
What a wild night we had 12 hours ago. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great Labor Day. We will see you tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.